Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to the 40th episode of the AP Now podcast. I'm Mary Schaefer from AP Now, and in this episode, we welcome two very special guests, Vanessa Taggart and Tricia Weider, on how to avoid B notices. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Really pleased to have you with us. You had a really interesting topic that you mentioned that you don't get many B notices. And when you said that, I thought, the English teacher will be having a coronary. I have to get these two ladies on to talk about it. But before we get to that, how about you each tell us a little bit about yourself? Vanessa, why don't you start?
Sure. Well, thank you, Mary, for having us today. I am a finance and supply chain professional with over 25 years of healthcare payables and supply chain experience, and I'm looking forward to retirement in a few years.
Very nice, Vanessa. And I've known you for a few years now. We always have a good time when we're together, which was why I was really glad that I was able to get you on the podcast. And Tricia, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right, Mary, again, thank you for having us with you today. I am the corporate accounts payable manager at Lehigh Valley Health Network. I've been in accounts payable for over 25 plus years in various organizations, and I'm glad to be here to help talk about this topic.
And I bet you are not looking forward to Vanessa's retirement.
No, I'm not. She does it.
I'm not looking forward to it either. Okay, the world will be the AP world will be a little less brighter without Vanessa. Yeah. Okay, so we want to talk about B notices. And Tricia, if you don't mind, could you just explain for 30 seconds what a B notice is? And then maybe the audience will see why I was so excited about this topic.
Sure. A B notice is a notification from the IRS letting you know that there is a potential for backup withholding because a particular vendor was either missing or had an incorrect match with their TIN number, EIN number, with their business entity name.
Okay. And typically for the AP world, that's on a 1099 MISC.
Correct.
Although in coming years, it'll be also the 1099 NEC. Won't that be fun?
Oh, yes.
All right. So, Vanessa, you said it started with your vendor policy. Could you elaborate about that a little bit?
I certainly can. We have had a vendor maintenance policy and procedures written up, documented since October of 2006.
Ooh.
Okay. So we've had for quite some time. It is something that we review on an annual basis. We update it as needed for government requirements or for our network. And it is a policy and a process that is strictly followed so that we are certain that when we're setting up a vendor, everything about that vendor's information is correct.
Okay, that's great. And you get the whole thing filled out? You don't do like I know some people, it's a rush when the vendor, a new vendor shows up and they just get the bare minimum of information into the master vendor file so they can get the check written?
No, we want all the information. We will not issue a payment until we have everything that we need.
Okay. Do you want to add anything on that, Tricia?
No, that about covers it. New vendors or reactivated vendors, we require all that information up front.
Okay. Can you talk also, now you mentioned segregation of duties. Can you talk about that, Tricia?
Yes, we have absolute segregation of duties, and we have two people in our audit specialist group who are the only ones with access to make changes to our vendor master. And those people do not have access to enter invoices.
Mm-hmm.
So the two the two operations are kept strictly separate from each other.
Okay. Vanessa, does that ever create a problem when someone's out?
Not typically. Tricia and I also have security to set up a vendor if it's absolutely necessary.
But you try and avoid that?
I try to. Yeah, I certainly, yes.
Okay. So, for many reasons. All right. So you talked about setting up the vendor. That means getting a W-9. Can you talk about how you do that, Vanessa?
Well, if it's a new vendor coming on board from our materials manager, our purchasing contracting group, they have to get the W-9 from the supplier, from the vendor for us. And then they actually have a form that they have to fill out that lists the terms, conditions, and everything that go along with that vendor. If it's a non-PO vendor, then we typically will go back to the department that is requesting a payment and have them reach out to the vendor since mm-hmm. they have made the contact with them initially mm-hmm. and have them get the W-9 for us. And at this point in time, I think most departments know they're going to need to provide that to
us.
Do send it to us.
Okay. Do you get most of your W-9s electronically via like an email?
Typically, yes.
Okay.
We don't pass paper around here very much anymore.
Okay.
So it mostly comes in an email format.
Okay. Well, that's great. No pay. And it also makes it easy to store then.
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right. Before we continue on, if you don't mind, we need to take a break and have a message from a sponsor.
Okay.
AP professionals know invoices are easy to lose, and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI, called Billy the Bot, immediately gets to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits an invoice for approval. Here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communications between approvers, AP, and vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Visit stamply.com/AP now. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/AP now. Okay, so continuing on the saga of not getting B notices, can you talk, Tricia, a little bit about how you verify that the information on that W-9 is correct?
I'm sure, Mary. We actually use a third-party web service called KinCheck that we utilize to verify the EIN numbers or Social Security numbers. And then once a year, we also do an annual bump up against the IRS database to ensure that our data is accurate.
So you use IRS TIN matching?
Yes.
Okay. When you do that once a year run against the IRS database, do you do your whole master vendor file or only those vendors that are going to get 1099s that year?
We do both. We'll do the 1099 separate, but we'll also bump the rest of the vendor master up against it as well.
Okay. So I'm curious, and when you do that once a year run, do you find many mismatches?
No, we do find a few, but it's usually due to typographical errors where we transposed a number or typed a 3 as an 8.
All right. So, okay. But at least it's good that you do it. And I know that is a new best mm-hmm. practice that not everybody is doing. Vanessa. You said you do some other verifications besides TIN matching.
Yes, because we're in healthcare, we have to do some checks with the Office of the Inspector General and OFAC, looking for specifically for sanctions against Medicare or Medicaid fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then we check the OFAC looking for any of those other bad actors that we're not supposed to be issuing payments to.
That's
all part of the TIN check, which is a software, a service.
Mm-hmm.
Used to have to go out, we would check the IRS site, and then we would go to OFAC, and then we would go to the OIG, and we'd be checking it 2 or 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Going through this service helps by allowing us to do it one time, and we can also check the addresses too.
Okay.
The other thing that with the vendor maintenance, every month our audit team the other two folks on the audit group that don't do vendor maintenance, they actually do random audit checks on the vendor master too. So they'll pick a few out, and then they do go through that whole three-step process looking at OFAC and OIG and and looking at the TIN in the IRS just to verify that what we've captured is correct.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Now, you mentioned you do the OFAC check. This has become a bigger issue than it used to be. It probably always should have been a big issue. So you check the vendor against the OFAC list when you first set the vendor up. Do you go back and do regular checks on that?
That's done, I'll say, annually.
Okay. All right. That's good because you're ahead of where most companies are. I can tell you that. But it has become a huge issue.
I guess in an ideal environment, you'd check it every time you do a check run.
That's the recommended best practice. But, you know, on the other hand, that's the recommended best practice, but you have to get the payments out the door. So the two go hand in hand, I guess. But the fact that you're doing it initially and then once a year is pretty good. I'm impressed. Let's put it that way, Vanessa. Okay. So you also talked about cleansing the master vendor file. Trish, you want to talk about what you mean by that and how you do it?
Sure. We cleanse our vendor master file twice a year, every 6 months. We run a report that looks for vendors who have been inactive for the 18 months prior, and those vendors automatically inactivated within our system.
Okay.
And we'll do that both the main vendor number as well as location codes under a specific vendor.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you might be dealing with ABC company who has 5 locations, and if you haven't done business with one of them in 18 months, then you deactivate that one?
Right.
That's correct.
Okay.
And we usually sweep through the vendor master first, and any vendor that shows it hasn't been used for 18 months, we inactivated in all its locations. And then after that's all finished, we run another report on just locations.
Okay.
So the vendor may stay active, but we do look for inactive locations and inactivate too. Oh. That saves us from mailing checks out to the wrong place.
Oh, right. And then if that vendor comes back and you want to do business with it, do you go through the whole new vendor setup again?
Absolutely.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
New W-9. And we go through the checks all over again.
Okay. So, you know, we've alluded to W-9s here. And I know if you went back 10 years, 20 years, it was a fight sometimes with vendors to get that W-9. Do you run into that at all anymore?
Not usually. I find that the ones we have issues with government entities trying to get a W-9 from a township or a municipality, and sometimes banks. But for the most part, businesses have been willing to give us the W-9 when requested.
Okay. I hear this. You're not the first person to say that they have trouble getting W-9s from government entities, which kind of boggles your mind when you think about it. But I'm surprised to hear you have trouble with the banks or some banks.
I think it's difficult to find someone who knows what you're asking for.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
You know, a lot of times they're like, I don't know what you mean. What are you looking for? I don't have that. I get a lot of that.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So it's more, I don't want to say ignorance, but I guess it is ignorance. I guess not everybody is as well versed in what W-9s are as the accounts payable space. All righty. So you have one last step before the 1099s leave the door. And I think we've already talked a little bit about it, but it might be a good idea to reemphasize that point. So you want to address the bulk TIN matching?
Sure. The system that we have, we can pull through all the files, and then we just basically, it's formatted so that it can be read by the IRS. And it takes about, they say it turns around 24 hours. I think it turns around in about 4 hours.
Okay.
They run that and verify the vendor's name and their tax ID number. Then if anything pops out, that's when we would look at it. And that's typically where we might find that when someone typed the vendor name, they might have looked everything up, but when they typed the vendor's name in, they transposed the number. But we do find it then before it goes.
Okay. And then you fix it, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yep. So you don't get very many B notices.
No.
And of course, all the things that you've been talking about today, I'm going to say this because you probably would never brag about yourself, but show that you have a very well-run accounts payable function. So you should be complimented on that. Both
well,
of you.
Vendor master is the basis, you know?
Yeah.
It all starts there.
Yeah. And I know, I think it's getting more, if you will, respect, to use, you know, Rodri Dangerfield concept, than it used to back in the day. But some of it, I think, is what we've been talking about. But also some of it, I think, has to do with the new, you know, all these change my bank account frauds that unfortunately everybody seems to be being hit with. Okay. Do you have any concluding thoughts, both of you, that you'd like to add before we close off this recording?
The only thing I'd like to say is I've been, I've been in this field for 25 plus years, honestly, and I have to say, if we do get a B notice, it's for one, it's a surprise to me,
uh-huh.
And I have personally, I don't think I've ever seen a second B notice for the same vendor. I don't even know what a second B notice looks like.
That is an amazing testament to the work that you've done there, Vanessa.
I think it's very important that you have your vendor master clean. Having good data is always the best way to do things.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. You too, Trish?
I agree with Vanessa. The vendor master is your base. And if you don't have a strong, solid base, the rest of the accounts payable is not going to be that strong. So. I'm part of the job that we do with our vendor master, and Vanessa started that base back in 2006, so I thank her for that.
Another thumbs up for Vanessa.
I just have to continue the legacy.
Yes, yes. And she's got some pretty, pretty big shoes there. I'm confident she'll fit into them.
She'll be fine.
Yeah. And Vanessa's only a phone call away.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah. I know where she lives.
Oh, even better. All right. Thank you, both of you, Vanessa Taggart and Tricia Wiedner, for coming and sharing your considerable expertise. I hope that you'll come back on a future episode and talk about some more of your best practices.
I'd love to do that.
Good. Good. Absolutely. And I'd like to thank everyone who's listening today and Stamply, our sponsor, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. If you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate this episode, review this episode, subscribe to the series, or even better, share it with your community on LinkedIn, Facebook, or your own team. To be alerted to new episodes, please visit www.ap-now.com and sign up for our free twice-a-week e-zine. It also contains tips and news of upcoming AP Now webinars, article postings, and, of course, new episodes. Look forward to seeing you on another AP Now podcast. Mm-hmm.